Don't worry. So since last week, I've repented, and I'm making sure now that all my messages have died too. Because there's something about the leadership and the followership. Hallelujah. There's something about leadership and followership, and it's very strong in this place. Okay, so if you look at your leaders, they have them in twos. Abi? They have them in twos. If you know, you know. Hallelujah. So when Toby came here last week, I said, you know, after that, I said, this is a leadership problem. Hallelujah. So henceforth, you don't worry, you don't need to wait 14 days. You download the inspiration at the end of time. And so you can imagine that I knew the title of this message the day after he spoke. So by last Friday, I knew the title of this message. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. A school of miracles. And miracles abound where you allow God to have his way. Amen. There has to be a vessel that is willing to accept the things that God says at face value for you to be able to see God work. Okay? So the book of James tells us that Job made us see the end that God intended. Hallelujah. Power belongs to you. Power belongs to you. In heaven and in earth, all the power belongs to you. Power belongs to you. Power belongs to you. In heaven and in earth, all the power belongs to you. Power belongs to you. Power belongs to you. In heaven and the earth, all the power belongs to you. Glory belongs to you. Glory belongs to you. In heaven and the earth, all the glory belongs. Glory belongs to you. Glory belongs to you. In heaven and the earth, all the glory belongs to you. In heaven and the earth, all the glory belongs. First off, everyone, that you cannot time God. You know, you can't time God. So you can't tell when God is going to do his thing. Hallelujah. And then you can box him into a corner that this is how he's supposed to operate. Hallelujah. And so when God is moving, there's no timing to it. All that is expected is that you have an attention. Hallelujah. And then you are receiving. Amen. Hallelujah. Because when he shall come, Arabas Catalida, Ekebos Catalida, Laban Catas Catalia. You have to be ready. Amen. Hallelujah. So this message is titled Decisions and Consequences. Decisions and Consequences. Joshua chapter 8. Joshua chapter 24. Joshua 24. And I'm going to read from verse... Actually, my attention is on verse 15. But let me take it from 14. Joshua 24, 14, 15. It says, now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. It says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. So while I was thinking about this, it's decisions and consequences, and then you put in bracket rewards. Because if you look at the definition of consequence, you know why I say you should put that in bracket. I may be wrong. I'm not an English professor, so don't hold me. That was why I was telling Mrs. D on Sunday that vernacular is okay, so that I can speak my language. Hallelujah. So don't hold me and say, hey, this man is saying consequences abroad. No, don't worry. I will read you the definitions and then you can plug it in. Okay? Now, decision making, it says, I can't even remember where I got this definition from, but this is not my definition. So this is standard definition. So don't say this is not a professor of English. That's why this is a standard definition. I just can't remember who I'm going to quote. It says, decision making is the process of evaluating alternatives and selecting an action. Okay? We tend to search for information related to the problem at hand, estimate the probabilities of different alternatives, and attach meanings and values to the anticipated outcomes. Okay? Are you reciting after me? I thought I saw your mouth say outcome before I said outcome. I was going to say, this is not scripture. Hallelujah. So it says, let me read it again. It says, decision making is the process of evaluating alternatives and selecting an action. So you are going to have, so if you want to make a decision, you have a decision. Sometimes you say, in projects, they say to go or not to go. Okay? So you have one line of action. Either you take that line of action or you do not take it. Okay? That's when you have one line of action. Okay? So is that a go life or not? All right? Now, if you have so many alternatives, then you have to make a decision on which one to take. So it says, evaluating your alternatives. So you begin to evaluate each one of them, okay? And the first question is, what do you evaluate against? Right? So there's an expectation. There is an end point. Okay? I want to get to this chair. Right? I have how many alternatives? 1, 2, and 3. Okay? If I'm going to use the cardinal points, I have 3 alternatives to get to this chair. And I go to my left. And I go to my left. I go to my right. Amen. Or I go straight for the chair. Right? So I have 3 alternatives. But what is my end point is to get to this chair. So I need to select alternatives based on my end point. Okay? Now, though this chair is my end point, okay, there will be other conditions attached to that end point. Are you getting me? So is this just this chair? And then you look at me and say, what's wrong with this man now? Is it not just for him to go walk towards this chair? Why is he saying he has 3 alternatives? But ideally, I have 3 alternatives. I can choose to go this way, come that way, go to the back and come here. Or go this way, come that way, go to the back and come here. Or go this way, depending on what I want to achieve. All right. Okay. So if I want to get to this chair in 50 steps, if I decide that I want to get to this chair in 50 steps, then you know that going this way, technically, 50 steps will not work. Okay? Unless I choose that my feet will be like Obaloluwa's feet, and then I begin to count, I'll be like this, and everybody's going to wonder, you know? So, the alternatives we have is dependent on the end point. Okay? Now, when we have decisions to make, 2 things come to mind. The first one is the end point, and the second one, which I think should also come to mind, is the experiences the experience along the way to your endpoint. All right. So it says, let me continue with this definition. And it says here that you look at, you evaluate alternatives and selecting an action. Then you tend to search for information related to the problem at hand, estimate the probabilities of different alternatives, and attach meanings and values to the anticipated outcome. Okay? So I said our decisions have two factors that you need to consider. First is the experience, and second one is the endpoint. Okay? But the ideal thing is that the endpoint comes first before the experience. So if I'm driving along a road, for instance, I'm driving, and I get to a T-junction, and the map says the map says go right, okay, and I go right, and then okay. So if I'm on a crescent, you know what a crescent is, or a road, you know what a crescent is. You don't know what a crescent is. You know what a close is. What's a close? A close. Who close money? So at the end, it's dead end on that street. It's a dead end. You can't go. It's not a thoroughfare. That's a close. So it's a crescent is shaped like a moon. So anytime you hear crescent, you don't remember the moon. So when you see a half moon, that's what a crescent is. So when they say this is Muyiwa's crescent, you know that there's a probability of that or that road curving and not a full curve, like an arc of a circle. Okay? Now, it's going to have two ends. If Remy can find arc of a circle, we can show you. I don't know how to describe arc of a, but if you know the moon, you see the moon, you see it. Okay, so there are two ends, this end and the other end of the arc. So now, if I get to the crescent from the midpoint and it says go right, okay, and I go right, I'm going to get out of that crescent because it has an exit at this end. Okay? Now, and the whole intention is for me to get out of the crescent, right? If I go left, okay, I'm still going to get out of that crescent. Okay? Now, the first thing is that I want to get out of that crescent, right? But you know what? The experience on the right is not going to be the same thing on the left because I will see different things on the right, okay, and I'll see different things on the left. Now, if you look at that with life, okay, when you make a right turn, when you're at the point to make a decision, when you make a right turn or a left turn, your experiences will be different, even though you get to the same end point. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Don't worry, it's not going to be a very long night. If you follow me, if you say yes, 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 we'll be fast out of here. If you say no, then I'll start all over again. Amen. So I'm saying, so that's how it is. So if you bust out from the midpoint there, okay, and I want to go right, even from this picture, you can see that the things on, if you take the midpoint here, you can see that this end does not look as like this end. Experiences will be different. All right? I think I said it, I've mentioned it several times. I've watched a film before that was trying to tell you that about life. I think they called the film Sliding Doors or something. So it was about some people, and they were about to make a decision. Or the guy was about to make a decision. So they showed him making a right turn, a decision for the right, for this side. And then they showed how his life played out, and then how he ended up. Then they showed him take this left, okay, how his life played out, and how he still ended up there. But his experiences of both sides were different. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, when we got here this evening, I said, I hope you had a stressful week, but you were able to cope. Because I've not seen it anywhere in the Bible that anything that is promised you is a stress-free life. Hallelujah. I've not seen it anywhere. If you see it there, please let me know. All I know is that if you go through the fire, it will not burn you. Hallelujah. And then if you pass through the waters, it will not do what? You will not drown. Hallelujah. Amen. So there's no promise of not going through, and there's no promise of the fire not burning. Amen. So as we are here, we will have some Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's not me anyway. So any one of you can be that. Hallelujah. And then we have some Jonas. Hallelujah. Amen. And then we have some people like Paul. I didn't say Paul's life. Oh, he was a man full of faith. Well, if you read Paul's life, you know that life was turbulent. Right? Now you go to prison. But what is going to prison to him was charge play because of the end point. So our experiences will be different. Okay? So let me go back to my definition. So it says here that we select the alternatives, okay, and attach meanings and values to the anticipated outcome. There will always be an anticipated outcome for every alternative you take. There will always be an anticipated outcome for every alternative you take. Joshua 24, Joshua says, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And that is based, that's on the back of different experiences along the line. And he was telling them, if you want to choose the God of the Amorites, you can choose that. That's for you. But for me and my household, we'll serve the Lord. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 30, if you read Deuteronomy 28, 28 is full of, 28 and 29, 28 is about blessings and curses, right? So if you go to Deuteronomy 30, I'm going to read from verse 15. It says, see, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land in which you go to possess. Let me read again. Verse 15. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. In that I command you today to love the Lord your God. Okay? So it says that you have two alternatives, Abi, or two choices to make. Okay? So there's life and good, there's death and evil. And then in because of these two things, it says, in that I have what? I command you to love today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments, his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. All these things that we have talked about, that they are spoken about here in verse 16, is what are the expected outcomes when you follow, okay, when you love the Lord your God and you walk in his ways and keep his commandments. What is the outcome? The outcome is that so that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. So on the one hand, he has said, look, if you do life and good, then you multiply, and then you will God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. And then verse 17 says, but if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn and worship other gods and serve them, as I announce to you today, that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days. You shall not prolong your days. In the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. Now, this was who speaking? Who was speaking here? Huh? Huh? Who was speaking? Moses. Hallelujah. Now, if you take this and look at Joshua chapter 24 and the last statement that Joshua made, Joshua said, but as for me, as my house, we will serve the Lord. Why? Because he understands the outcome of following God. If you look in the earlier part of that verse 15 of Joshua 24, he gave them three options. It's either you continue to behave like the people of the land you are behaving in, or you keep to their gods. He says, but for me. So there are three things. Let's go back to Joshua 24. Okay, it says, as if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites. Okay? So the first one is the gods of the of their fathers on the other side. The second one is the god of the Amorites, and the third one is God himself. Okay? So he's saying that, look, you can choose and decide that it's evil to serve God. So whether you want to follow these guys or not, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. It was just, he was remembering those instructions as Moses had given to them. Amen. Because Moses has told them in Deuteronomy 30 that, you know what, you need, if you follow this path of life and good, then you end up well. Hallelujah. And when we are walking with Christ, it is the end point that is critical. Okay? He says, is the Alpha and the Omega. Hallelujah. So that's the beginning and the end. But you know that we've heard it over and over, that God deals with us from the finished product end, from the finished product end point of view. So when God is looking at you and I, okay, he's looking at us from the point that, oh, this is callings that Christ has paid the price for. Hallelujah. No matter what callings is doing right now, that's how God is looking at us. Okay? So when God is seeing callings, or callings is seeing himself and say, ah, me, I don't fall God around all that. God is not seeing him as someone that's falling in his hand. God is seeing him as someone that has grace because of what Christ has done. That's the end point that God deals with us with. Now, it is the decisions that we make, okay, that gets us to that end point. But God is already at that end point waiting for us. Hallelujah. Are you getting me? He's already at that end point. He's not going to get to that end point because we decided to follow the path to that end point. He's already at the end point. So when you get to the end point, that's not when things are going to start falling in place, because things are already in place at that end point. It's just like when they tell you that, come and rent this house, just bring your bag and move in. Now, when you carry your bags and you say, I'm moving in today, that's not the time they're going to load the house with everything. That everything is already made. They're just waiting for you to open the door and step in. Hallelujah. Amen. The decisions we make, okay, are based on the end point. Do you know that sometime in the past, today was tomorrow? You understand what I'm saying? Sometime in the past, today was tomorrow. Abi? So that sometime in the future, today will be yesterday. Right? So sometime in the past, okay, the decisions you made sometime in the past brought you to today. And the decisions you make today will take you to tomorrow. And so that when you get to tomorrow, you look at today and say, that was in the past. Hallelujah. Amen. So we have to be very careful with the decisions we make based on the outcomes we expect. Okay? So everybody expects that there will be peace. There will be peace at the end of the day. That's everybody does. Nobody wants a life that's full of problems. You don't want to get home and find something missing, or you get home, somebody knocks your door and just making trouble. You want to get home, go to bed, and rest peacefully. And that's why the Bible was very careful to tell us that don't go to bed, leaving everything unsettled. Because when you are sleeping, you just remember that you have not slapped somebody very well. Or when that guy slapped you, you didn't respond very well because you did not settle the matter before going to bed. Hallelujah. You know, if I want to wake up at 3 a.m., I only need to saturate my mind with the fact that you must wake up at 3 a.m. Abi? That's what worked for me. So, like, 3 a.m. And why would I do that? Because 3 a.m. is the time that I'm supposed to be very in deep sleep, okay? I'm like, it's difficult to wake up at 3 a.m. So all I need to do is that I don't need to concentrate while sleeping. And funny enough, I'll wake up every hour until 3 a.m. And it's done. That's what happens to you when you keep things unsettled and then you go to bed. You'll never be able to, you won't be able to sleep well. Okay, so the consequence part that I've not given you the definition. So I've given you the definition of decision. Okay, You evaluate the alternatives, and then based on the outcomes of the alternatives, you make a choice. Now, consequences is defined as a result or effect. Okay? But this one says typically one that is unwelcome or unpleasant. Okay? So that's what the consequence is. So consequence usually is if you do this, then this will happen. Hallelujah. But I'm saying that this, let's look at decisions, consequences, and rewards. Hallelujah. Amen. Because it's a reward when you choose to follow God. It's not a consequence if you follow this definition. This definition says that typically is unpleasant and is what? Is unwelcome. Hallelujah. And that happens, the unwelcome part is the part that happens when you choose death and evil things. Because nobody wants that. And you can see, I just chose not to read all the stories about the unwelcome part. But the unwelcome part is never sounds right and never sounds comforting. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, what people should know, that even when you take the part of life and good, it is not a bed of roses. Amen. Hallelujah. You know this song, this hymn? And I place into your hands the way that I should go. And I place into your hands the things that I should do. And I place into your hands. For I know I always. All of you are contemporary. You say, give me C sharp. That's what you sing. Or you know, take my hand and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Amen. Or then you know this song. I want to be like Jesus in my life. Oh, I don't want to be like Satan in my life. You know that song? Maybe we didn't go to Sunday school. You know it. You don't know it. That's I'm very much older than you. Setman will know it. Officer Sajay. Okay. Now, if you want to be like Christ, hallelujah, you need to look at the life of Christ. And see that the life of Christ was not filled with ibadun, in quote. There was no jollofing. It was serious business. The end point was that he must fulfill his mission. How he got to where he's fulfilling his mission, he chose not to interfere with it. Hallelujah. Amen. So the end point for him was that he must get to the cross and give up his life and then resurrect. And that's a done deal. That's why he came. Hallelujah. So everything that happened along the way, okay, everything that happened to him along the way was to get him to that end point. If you look at the story of the Israelites, okay, the Bible says that it was a 40-day journey, right? That they would have made from Egypt to their final destination. Yet it took them how many years? Eh? How many years did it take them? Eh? How many days? Oh, yeah, check it now. On GWO. How many years were they in slavery for? 430. So how many years did it take them to pass through the wilderness? Eh? How many days would it have taken them? Why did it have to take them 40 years? Oh yeah. Oh yeah, read it. Give us the Bible, the scripture for it. So it was supposed to be 11 days, right? But then it became 40. And that's why when I was explaining to you that I could have gone from here to this chair, I didn't have to go through that place. Okay? But God gave a reason for that. He said so that they would, if they had gone this way, they will have faced so much, trouble, that they will have turned back to Egypt. If they're taking the shorter 11 days. So he took them the wrong route. Have you found the scripture for it? He took them the wrong route. Okay? And then on that long route, he was doing what to them? He was revealing himself as they were going along. And as they were encountering whatever they were encountering, he would always say, but I did this just now. Right? So why can't you just remember the things I just did now and move on? Okay? Because they are taking care of the fact that they were not going to go, they will not be able to survive that 11 days. So God's way is not the shortest way or the most comfortable. Hallelujah. It's the way that makes you rely essentially on him and it gets you to the end point. Amen. So when you rely essentially on him, so for Moses, it was fine. Okay? Moses didn't have to keep going to him and say, what's all this problem? He said, look, these people are disturbing me. So I need to tell them something. It wasn't about Moses. It was about what he would tell the people. So he wasn't doubting God. It was about what he would tell the people. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you getting me? When you are working with God, expectation is that the end, better is the end of the thing. Your expectation should be that better is the end of the thing thereof than the beginning. Okay? Not that it's a roller coaster ride with God. You know what a roller coaster ride is? You know what a roller coaster ride is? Answer me now. So that's what I'm saying. You know, so roller coaster, okay, is a free fall. You just go vroom, and then it falls by gravity, rises up, and then they use electricity, and then increase the speed again. No, there are no bumps, no bottles like this one here. You are not avoiding anything. It's not a roller coaster ride. It's a ride with God. A ride with God is a ride that ensures that you understand the one that is giving an instruction. Hallelujah. And when the test comes, you are able to stand the test of time. So when I was talking, this Exodus 13, it says, then it came to pass where Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war, and then they return to Egypt. Okay? So God was interested in keeping their sanity. Hallelujah. Amen. Interested in keeping their sanity and their total reliance. So because he's not going to be able to tell them, do not fear. If they see people that have been in slavery, they were not people of war. Were they? They weren't. They were in slavery. So if they were go, and the first thing is they start fighting war, that would be a problem. He said they would go back. There was nothing God was going to tell them at that point. He says they will go back. Hallelujah. Amen. When we make our choices, remember that the choices you make or decisions you make today is going to affect tomorrow. And then that tomorrow, when you look back at today, you'll be like, why did I take a right turn or a left turn? In the book of So, now, when God makes a choice, when God puts before you the best path of life, okay? The best path for your life, okay? It tells you one thing. God understands you as a person and knows how much you can withstand and how much you can let go of, okay? So, when you are passing through things, that's why he says that count it all joy, because every temptation that comes your way, you are well able to overcome it, because it will not let you be tempted above that which you can contain or bear. Am I right? Hallelujah. But it's only if you keep to his instructions, or you make the choice, you make the same choice that he has made for you, that you're able to withstand those temptations. Are you with me? Are we clear? Good. All right, let me give you an example. When we were in tertiary institution, We had a lecturer. The guy was a very smart lecturer. But up to today, I still sit down to figure out how he did it. I saw some people would come up with mathematical equations on how he does those things. You know, the auditorium where, like, the the theater auditorium where everybody sits down. There are rows of chairs like this. And that theater, that we were about 100 and something, about 200 in that particular lecture. And each time we sit for a test, the man will pick out everybody that cheated after he had marked our script. Are you getting what I'm saying? Okay, sorry, let me change it. The man will pick out everybody that cheated after he has marked their scripts. Because me, I didn't cheat. So so he will tell us when he comes to lecture. He says, make sure that you do not copy the person to your right, the person in front of you, or the person to your left. Huh? Make sure you don't copy. I don't copy anybody diagonally. He will tell you. And then he tells you the consequence. Okay? And the consequence is that you will lose all the marks. And it's just a test too. You just lose all the marks. And he says that. So when we finish the test, you know what he does? He collects his script from the end. You pass it like this. This end, and he collects it row by row. And he marks it row by row. He takes it row by row. And then he comes back and says, and then the people that cheat, they know, because he will have removed all their marks and he will reference whoever they copied. How he does it, I don't even know. So when my friend and I, that's Engineer Lani, when we go for a test, I said today, so that he will not even the wind of trying to call me. So that the wind will not even blow near you at all. Please, I don't anything you want to say now, let's just talk about it now. Because once I enter that room, there's nothing. So when he sits here, we sit there. And then we do our test, and we go. And there was this particular guy. When he comes to the test room, or exam room, the guy will come. You can sit down. We'll sit in front of him. If we sit like this, these three chairs, the guy will sit here. Where Mrs. D put her bag. If I'm sitting here, and then I bend to my right, I start writing. I'll cover my screen, I'll start writing. So that you will not see. Yeah, say, how many marks do you want to get? So if you get everything and I don't get anything, how does it pay you? Say, you say, come on, guy, sharing of knowledge. I said, we can't, what's sharing of knowledge? Where's somebody? So since that day, Tony and I will call him sharing of knowledge. Anytime we see him, I say, sharing of knowledge is coming. This guy say, mabu, cover it. But for class, it was so funny. But what kept coming to my mind was that there's a consequence for this thing. Why would you just, and that, so this is consequence in the real sense of it. There's a consequence. Why would you just throw it away? Now, if you look at the story of the blind, first one is Ananias and Sapphira. Let's go quickly. Acts chapter 4. Verses 33. If you read verse 33, oh gosh. Acts chapter 4, Matthew, Mark, Acts chapter 4, 33 to 37. It says, and with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all were possessors of lands or houses. For all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed them to each as anyone had need. Okay? Then he says, and Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, had, having land, sold it, and brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. Okay? So, technically, he was saying here that, with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And great grace was upon them. So they were doing what they were supposed to do. Right? Their decision was, let's continue preaching and ministering the word of God. Okay? And the Bible says that after a while, it will come to somebody, somebody's mind, because they all had land and everything. Someone will sell it and they will all distribute it. And God took care of everything. But in chapter 5, it says, But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. And he kept back part of the proceeds. His wife was also being aware of it and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Why did the Bible say but? Because what the two of them did was contrary to what every other person did in the church. Amen. So every other person will sell and bring everything, okay, and it will be distributed equally among as people needed. I hope I'm right. It says, they laid them at apostles and distributed to each one as anyone had need. Amen. You know what that means? That if, as we are seated here, if me I needed 90% of what was sold, and Toby does not need anything, it was not necessary for Toby to get anything. It says it was distributed as each one. Where is it now? See, she made a decision not to show us the right scripture. And we have gone to the left. It's Acts chapter 4. Chapter 5. And they laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each one as anyone had need. So if no one had a need, they won't bother to give him. So it wasn't shared equally. Right? So the people that were selling their land, it was not so that they will also benefit from it. It was so that every other person that needed will benefit from it. And the Bible records it that it was okay. It was a good decision. Now, Ananias and Sapphira, they did otherwise. What did they do? They sold their own land and kept part of it. Mind you, there was no portion of these scriptures that says that it was a must for them to sell. Amen. It wasn't a must. That's the part of free willing, where it comes in. It wasn't a must for them, anybody to sell. It was he who chose to sell and was able to willingly let it go. So the choice of Ananias and Sapphira had a consequence, and it was death. Hallelujah. It says, I've placed before you life and good, evil and death. Their choice was death. If you look at the story of the woman with the blood, Matthew chapter 9, Matthew chapter 7. Verse 20. The woman with the issue of blood. It says, verse 20, it says, just then, a woman who has been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, if I only touch his cloak, I will be healed. She said to herself, if I only touch his cloak, I will be healed. Amen. Hallelujah. It was a decision that she made in her mind. It's written nowhere in the scriptures that you need to touch his cloak to be healed. Hallelujah. But she understood one thing, that with him, that's Christ, okay, lay the solution to our problems. And then faith, which was driving her, okay, got her a healing. Hallelujah. In the book of Acts, Mark chapter 10, from verse 46. Just then they came to Jericho. From verse 46. Then they came to Jericho as Jesus and his disciples, together with a loud crowd, were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Amen. Hallelujah. First thing was that blind Bartimaeus had never seen Jesus before. Right? He's blind. So what did he have about Jesus? What would he have heard about? The things that he had heard about Jesus was the only thing that he had about Jesus that was armed with. And he made a choice, okay, to go with the things that he has heard about the King of Kings. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, it's not like Thomas. Thomas said, when I see the hole in his hand and in his feet, I will know that it's him. Amen. Only the things that blind Bartimaeus heard about him was enough to set his expectation, okay, for receiving healing. Aye. Okay? And he made his mind, everybody knows his mind, that as long as he can get the attention of Jesus, okay, he will be able to get healing. So he kept shouting and shouting and shouting. And people around him were shouting him down. And they keep quiet. Is you, somebody is going, is you this blind man that is going to, and but faith cries out to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Faith does not need a high pitch. It does not need a megaphone. Hallelujah. Amen. Neither does it need an amplifier. In fact, it doesn't need a technical team. Faith only needs to be present, okay, to get God's attention. The first one was the woman of faith, the one that was bleeding. Okay, she kept saying to herself, if I may but touch. Okay, and that faith was enough to draw power and virtue out of Christ. For blind Bartimaeus, he only said, look, if I shout, he will hear me. I will get his attention. And then he shouted, and then people shut him down. But he kept shouting, and then Jesus stopped. Faith was crying out to him. The choice of crying out by faith is our choice. Blind Bartimaeus could have decided that, oh, what this people is saying, let me just keep quiet. There's no hope. No, but his end point was that once he gets his attention, he'll be able to tell him what he wants. You see that when Christ asked him that, what do you... Mr. Jerry. Oh. Father, I place into your hands the things that I will do. Father, I place into your hands the things that I will say. Have you put it back? See yourself now. So, blind Bartimaeus, let me continue. So he kept shouting and said, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more. Okay? Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, call him. Amen. Hallelujah. So if Jesus was close to blind Bartimaeus, he wouldn't have told people, call him. Abi? So, for me, it looked like he had gone past him and then he heard. Okay? Or probably he was just by his side, okay, a distance, and then he heard. Faith called out to him. He said, call him. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be called. Then he called the blind man, saying to him, Jesus, throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to him, his feet, and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Hallelujah. What was driving blind Bartimaeus was that there's a solution to my blindness. Hallelujah. And faith was driving him because he had faith in the things that he had heard about Christ. Hallelujah. And I had looked at it and said, if I may just get his attention, I'll get what I want. There at the pool of Bethsaida, okay? John chapter 5. And I read from verse 2. It says, now there is in Jerusalem near the sheep gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethsaida, and we're surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, do you want to get well? Sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool. When the water is stirred, while I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. Do you know that is the expectation that one day he will be able to get into that pool and get his healing. That was only the expectation of this invalid. Hallelujah. Amen. Because when Christ asked him, he said, "No, what did Christ ask him? Christ asked him, would you like to get well? And this is the difference between him and blind Bartimaeus. Would you like to get well? What did he say to Christ? He said, I can't, sir, the sick man said, for I have no one to put me in the pool when the water bubbles up. Someone else always goes there ahead of me. The next verse, Jesus told him, stand up, pick up your mat, and walk away. And walk. Hallelujah. Amen. The question will be, why did Jesus heal him? The man had an expectation, and he had faith that once he's able to step into that pool, he'll be healed. The next verse. Instantly, the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat and began walking. But this miracle happened on the Sabbath. Next one. So the Jewish leader objected. They said to the man who was cured, you can't walk on the Sabbath. The Lord doesn't allow you to carry that sleeping mat. Hallelujah. Amen. So carrying sleeping mat is walk on the Sabbath. And then the next thing, he said, but he replied, the man who healed me told me, pick up your mat and walk. Hallelujah. Christ saw in him an element of faith. And because he will obey, okay, he got his healing. Hallelujah. Our decisions and the rewards or consequences, our decisions come along with these rewards or consequences. Amen. And we have to make the right decisions. Hallelujah. Everything has been made and is made for us. He said, in him was everything that was made. And without him, nothing was made. Hallelujah. Amen. So what you have access to is dependent on the decisions you make, getting the things that Christ has made available for you and I. Hallelujah. The Bible says, by his stripes we are healed. Amen. That means that healing is a done deal. By stripes we were healed. Healing is a done deal. The one that gets the healing is the one that steps into the done deal by making the right decision. Hallelujah. And the decision is about Christ. Hallelujah. Faith in him, because it's faith that cries out. If you start praying to God from now to tomorrow and you are crying, it's not going to move anything, because Christ don't move God. It's the faith cry that moves God. When faith cries, that's what moves God. So you have faith and is yelling out to God, then God moves. Hallelujah. Amen. When I was in school, there was this man living in the basement. So you know what the basement is. So you have this level, and then there were two rooms down there. And the guy would wake up every morning, and he was always praying. And there were very dangerous prayers. Okay? So he had been repeating every year in the university. So year one, he repeated. Year two, he repeated. Year three, he repeated. Year four, he repeated. So it was in year five. And then he looked at the different things that had happened. And then this year five, he does not want to repeat. So every morning he would wake up and he would be crying to God. And he said, it, let me say it in my mother tongue. That's how he prays. Oluwa, gbogbo won ti o gbogun ti mi baba se won won se oluwa beg ilu won. So I say that meaning that God, those people that are against me prospering or moving ahead in this final year, that God should how do I do it now? God should beg ilu won loyin baba si. God should wage war against them. So he was like, okay, God, make sure that when you cut the tree, it falls on them. Something like that. And then every morning, I was like, guy. I went to my friend, I said, you know what? If this guy should just take his books and go to the classroom, I said, God, everything I'm reading, let me retain. It will do a lot better. All this vengeance and everything that he's looking for, or stopping everything, God will take care of that one. It's just a done deal. But that this is what you are concentrating on, you are wasting your energy. That wasn't a faith cry. Amen. That was trying to move God with emotions. And God doesn't move with emotions. Hallelujah. Amen. You have to reach out to God in faith. And when you reach out to Him in faith, He's going to move on your behalf. Hallelujah. Let's rise to our feet. Oh, be lifted. Of all other gods, we lay our crown and worship you. Oh, be lifted. Above all other gods, we lay our crown and worship you. Oh, be lifted above all other gods, we lay our crown and worship you. Most glorious God, we praise your name. We lay our crown and worship you. Oh, be lifted above all other gods. We much as we've made a choice to follow Him, there are choices we also make in Him. Not taking for granted the things that we have. Just commit everything into His hands. Miracles happen, and miracles depend on our choices. Run by Timothy's God is a miracle because He chose not to keep quiet. That faith will continue to cry till they get attention of Christ. The woman with the issue of blood got her miracle because she chose not to stop desiring that once I touch the hem of His garment, I will be made whole. And that was attributed to her as faith. I just thank Him for faith. Indeed, He is able to draw virtue out of God. Make up your mind. Even as you worship Him, to make faith, draw virtue from Christ. Limplata kanda bos katalida brasadaya. Ekamplatas katalika brasakaya. There are difficult situations. Linkradasadaya. Ekapasa kalinkrada bos katalia. He says that for me and my house, we will serve the Lord as you make a decision to serve Him. Ekrabose kalanga basadaya. He said He will multiply you and you spend your days in pleasure. Ranga bas katalida rabasakaya. Ekabunka taliga rabranda satalia. Ekepuka tambratan satala linga rabasaya. Ekratanga bose taliga rabasekaya. The entrance of the walls, He gives light and understanding to the simple. Rinkla bose taliga. As you hear His word, linka basaya. He begins to show you mangra basaya and make things plain before you. Ekatanda liga rabasaka lizaria. Ekatatumba talide rabasataria. Ekaprotumbra chisketelida rababasakalia. Lord, we worship. We give You praise. Father, we thank You and we worship. Thank You because the faith within is enough to draw virtue from You, Lord God. And that's what we rely on, Lord God, even as we take our steps, as we order our steps along the best pathway for our lives as Your design. Thank You because our faith, it draws virtue from You, Lord God. We give You all the praise, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.